Hey guys, welcome aboard another episode, howtosellyourcoaching.com. I'm Wayne Sutton, and I have a lovely guest here that has actually helped me in this area. Some things we're going to talk about today. I actually learned about Tiffany. I've seen you quite a while, Tiffany, and then saw you on ACBAR, and then we had a session. You really did help me on some things, and we may talk about that here. But I want to just introduce you to our audience and people that are listening here. As a, I'm trying to get the label. I'm trying to label what you exactly do. I'm scared the label thing. Sometimes we label something that we kind of define that. And you're so in so many different areas, but you really are. I know you are helping people. Your passion, your expertise is really is transforming lives through I know it's NLP, and I believe today you were talking about hypnosis and really just the way our mind works, I guess. So. Welcome, Tiffany, and I'm going to quit trying to tell people what you do, and I'm going to let you tell people what you do,
but thank you.
Absolutely.
That was a great introduction. So I guess, yeah, I am certified in NLP. I'm a trainer in NLP as well, and a therapeutic branch of NLP called Matrix Therapies. So my passion and my specialty is helping people clear out the emotional baggage and the mental trash that keeps them stuck in self-sabotage, that leads to negative self-talk, that is really the root of all the crap that stops us from stepping into our potential.
Gotcha. I have to ask, because I'm a love stories. How did you get into this? I mean, you didn't grow up as a kid going, I want to be a matrix therapy counselor, holistic healer, I'm sure. I mean, how did you get into this field?
So I started my career coaching when I was 14, actually, as a fitness coach. So back then, I was a huge, huge nerd. I would buy like every fitness magazine that I could find in the supermarket. I would cut out all the exercises. This is going to give you some insight into the level of nerd that I am. I would cut out all the exercises, and I had a binder that I then divided into body parts like biceps, triceps, core, you know, quads, hamstrings, blah, blah, blah. And I would put the exercises in like the little plastic sleeves and organize them all. So that when I needed a new exercise for somebody, I could just go to my handy little Bible is what it became and find a cool new exercise for them. So I've always loved helping people. And really, it was when I was 28, when my life collapsed, that I really realized that I had some stuff that I needed to work on. And I realized the power of the mind. So at that time, I was living in Australia. I'd been dating somebody. had been dating somebody for about 3 years. And the day I found out I was pregnant was the day I found out he had a girlfriend in another state. My life collapsed to the first, what I thought was rock bottom. And then it started coming out that he was actually a compulsive liar, had been lying to me about everything from what he had for breakfast to how much money he made to where he went on the weekends. Like just literally everything was a lie. And I was so embarrassed and humiliated that here's me, this highly intelligent woman who has had, you know, the wool pulled over her eyes for 3 years. So I didn't actually tell anybody that I was pregnant. And then the stress of everything that followed, I actually lost the baby. So I miscarried.
Wow.
And I hit a whole other level of rock bottom. But I hadn't told anybody I was pregnant, so I didn't want to drop this other bombshell of like, oh, by the way, now I've had a miscarriage that I'm dealing with. And so I went through it alone, and there was a point where I didn't know if I was going to be able to get through it. I had just come out of a business meeting in downtown Melbourne, and I reached a point where I was like, I can't pretend that nothing's wrong anymore. Like, I can't just keep pretending like, oh, I'm so glad he's gone from my life. Like I had been. So as I'm standing there, I see this yellow taxi coming, and I thought I could just make this all go away with just one step. That's all it would take, and everything would be over, and no one would see me as selfish or whatever, because it would look like an accident. So mentally I committed to taking that step. My body had other plans, and my feet were like cemented to the ground. And in that moment of, you know, life flashing before your eyes, I saw the moments in life that I didn't realize had impacted me. I was actually abused by my stepmom growing up. Only at that time, I didn't actually realize that it was abuse. So those yeah. moments flashed before my eyes. And then I saw all these random faces of strangers. And my belief is that I saw the people that I had yet to impact with my story.
That's good.
So I went on a self-healing journey, started with therapy because that's what you're told to do. You have a problem, you go to a therapist. And it didn't work for me. It really, the best thing that I got from therapy was understanding that I had actually been abused by this domestic violence survivor that was my stepmom. I went to the rah-rah personal development events where you feel great when you're there. Loud music, hugs, high fives, all of that good stuff.
Been there.
Yeah. And then you leave and you feel a little bit lonely and you realize you have no tools. I hired life coaches, told them I have this stuff from my past. I need to find a way past it. It's really holding me back and I need to heal it. And the overwhelming answer that I got in response was, you can't change the past. It's happened. So let's just focus on the future and move on. And I was like, I've done that for 28 years and it almost killed me. I would like to survive this life. And that ultimately brought me to NLP. NLP and matrix therapies was a game changer for me from the very first clearing session that I had, similar to what you experienced. And it was like this weight had been lifted.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize how much stuff they're carrying on to until they start to offload it. And then they realize that they've been waking up every morning, strapping 100-pound or 200-pound backpack to their back, and then attempting to go run a marathon and then they can't figure out why they're exhausted or why they just can't do it. They yeah. can't perform at the level that they want to. So that's what I'm passionate about educating people about now.
Well, Tiffany, and a couple things there. It's something I've never shared to some of my closest friends. The jump out in front of the taxi and making an accident. I was there. Wasn't a taxi. It was a burgundy Ford, huge. Oh, I don't know what it was. And somebody was there to grab me. And I surely have never admitted that on a podcast a long time ago. But I thought, same thing, this is over. And long story short, found help, got through life. And my introduction to NLP was back actually Tad James, Rex Sox years ago, and from a business standpoint, not healing. And then I realized it can work so well in both. But something really interesting you said, and I want every coach listening to this to grab a hold of, Tiffany went to life coaches and didn't get solutions. The reason is most life coach certification programs, and please take this with all love and respect, they're crap, absolute crap. And we certify coaches. Ours is not crap. We believe in a process, using identity and going into our, we have a process. We believe bringing tools, not just a certification. So I want to clarify that.
And I can attest to that. I mean, I did a life coaching certification and I was convinced that life coaching wasn't for me because what I found was that the steps or the process that they gave me just taught me how to teach my clients to be codependent on me, which is really great for your ego because then your clients always need you. But when you're getting calls at like 10 o'clock on a Friday night, I'm fighting with my boyfriend. What should I say? Or, you know, how do I make this decision? I was like, I'm not a babysitter. Like, I would rather work with you for a finite amount of time and set you free and then us become friends as opposed to you needing me to make any decision for the rest of your life.
Very, very good point. So I'd say just to all of the coaches out there, that, you know, our podcast reaches a lot of coaches. Make sure you have a tool set that is really changing or admit that you don't and go find one, you know, go mm-hmm. find something. I use this story a lot, Tiffany, and we talked about church and, you know, and different things earlier before we went on air, but I use this example of the Good Samaritan in the Bible. People, the Good Samaritan helped the one that was in the ditch. And I always talk about that's almost like counseling. It's helping people out. It's getting them, it's taking care of them. Coaching then is saying, okay, now why were you going down the road? Where are you heading to? Let's take you to another level. But sometimes you can't move people ahead if they're still stuck in the past or they're hurting and you have to heal. So I'm glad I met you and I know you're reaching a lot of people. Tell me what you see today because I see movements like for 2 or 3 years, this is really hot and this is moving and people are jumping into it. But what do you see that's really working in the field of changing people's lives? And I know you work with a lot of business leaders and business owners as well. So it's not just my boyfriend's mad at me. It's how do I grow my business? What kind of limitations? But what are you mainly involved with at this point? What are you working in?
I do tend to work with a lot of entrepreneurs and coaches who are wanting to grow and scale and really step into their purpose. I think the major movement that I'm seeing right now is that people are understanding the impact that their mindset can have on every aspect of their life. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to understand that until they get it right in here with their thoughts, then nothing is fully going to change. One thing I always talk about with my clients and with the people who come through my programs is that our behaviors are a symptom of our belief system. And so I think people are starting to see that willpower and discipline are not actually the answer to getting you to what you want. You only have so much willpower. And studies have actually been done on this where we have this thing called decision fatigue. We wake up, if you imagine that your willpower is a glass of water, you wake up with a full glass every morning. The average American hits the snooze button 3 times. That means they are making 3 decisions before they even get out of bed. Every decision you make, you're tipping a little bit of water out of that willpower glass.
Okay.
And so through the day, it doesn't matter if it's what should I wear to work or what should I eat, what route should I take. If you look at some of the top leaders in the world, when Barack Obama was in the White House, he had 10 of the exact same suit. Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs, yeah. They had that uniform of like a white, plain white t-shirt and blue jeans or whatever. Mark Zuckerberg eats the same thing for lunch every day. It's not because he can't afford something different. It's because it decreases a choice that he has to make so that he can use his willpower for the things that are most important. Because when that willpower runs out, we revert back to whatever the belief systems are that we had in our unconscious mind to start with. Mm-hmm. And this is where you see, like, if you look at the classic, I'm going on a diet, the person will eat really well at breakfast, really well at lunch, fairly well at dinner, and then eat like the entire candy aisle at Whole Foods come 9 o'clock. And it's because their willpower has completely run dry. So we don't want to, I mean, willpower and self-discipline, is it important? Yes. And it's not going to win you the war. It'll win you a battle or two, but you have to actually at some point address what's going on in your head. Otherwise you're going to get sick. You're going to get injured. Something's going to come up to make you deal with it.
And so how does that apply, Tiffany, to setting rules? For instance, maybe the rule, can a rule replace willpower? What I mean by that is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I go to the gym. I've got it set as a rule. I don't always want to get out of the bed and go. So that still goes back to willpower. How does somebody go, I'm going to do this Monday, Wednesday, Friday as a rule. I don't have to discuss a rule. I know what a rule is. It must be done. But I still feel like it's willpower in there somewhere.
It is. I mean, the speed limits are a rule, but people still speed, right?
Like, very true.
There's plenty of rules out there that people break on a daily basis. So it really comes down to understanding, like, and sitting down with somebody and saying, okay, so what's the reason? You know you should go to the gym. You know that you should eat more vegetables. What is the purpose of not? And really digging into, like, what is the underlying root cause? Then when we deal with that, whether it's a lack of education or what I find is that a lot of people are afraid, not so much of failure, but of their success. Because success is this great unknown. And we have this, the fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown is one of the greatest fears that we'll ever face. And it stops people from moving, starting a new job, a new business, becoming friends with new people, trying a new food, because they don't know what could happen. And then they take this molehill. Let's use my dad for an example. He is like super conservative, especially when it comes to to food. He will not try a new food ever. So if I say, here, just try the shrimp, he will give you a list of like 30 things. Well, how do I know I'm not going to go into anaphylactic shock? How do I know it's not going to kill me? Right? And like something as simple as try a piece of shrimp has now been turned into it could kill me in the mind. And because we're programmed to survive, once that thought's in there, well, this could possibly kill me, there's hardly a chance of us doing that. The chance becomes very minuscule at that point. So
how do you flip that? How do you, you know, do you change, do you try to change the whole framework of possibility instead of demise or?
So, I mean, the person has to be willing to change as well. And then digging into, you know, what is the purpose of always going to that like super crazy worst case scenario? What is the purpose of believing that everything could kill you? And ultimately, it's likely going to take somebody back to a point in childhood where that was programmed into them. Like sitting here as adults, 95% of the belief systems that we have were implanted in our mind by somebody else between the ages of 0 and 7.
Yeah.
So when I work with people, what we do is we go back to that first event and see that the person's psyche has been stuck there. I was working with a coach recently who knew that they were very limited in their ability to see opportunities and to see other options and ways of doing things. And so when we went back to the first event, when they were like 5 years old, they'd got home from school before their parents and they went to the neighbor's house and the neighbor wouldn't let them in. So instead of going to the next neighbor, they just sat on the front porch freezing. And that was the mentality, that five-year-old mentality of, well, we'll just have to sit out in the cold until mom and dad get home. Wow. is what they were using in their coaching business now.
Yeah. We did something similar and when you worked with me back to an event. And that was several weeks ago. And then just the last few days, I noticed that again. You know, so, yeah. And it goes back, and this is why I love talking with you, Tiffany. You've got tools. And if you're going to be a coach, you're going to be a consultant, you're going to help people, you've got to have more than a desire to help. You've got to have the tools to help them. Mm-hmm. I've got a friend who's he has a great desire to be a copywriter and write these wonderful ads, but he cannot write copy. He doesn't have the tool set. Great desire, but nobody buys his stuff. So you've got to have the tool set also. How long have you been doing? I know your website, Blue Lotus. Tell me about Blue Lotus. That's a unique name. I like the name, but what's behind the name?
So blue is my favorite color, and it's also a very healing color. So I did want to work that in some way. The lotus flower itself is, you know, the story of the lotus is that it has to grow through the mud, through the impurities to become pure and beautiful. And for me, that really is a great metaphor for this releasing, clearing, letting go of the old stuff journey. The blue lotus in Buddhist tradition is actually a sign of wisdom and tranquility. So for me, it really fit.
See, this, I love this. I love asking people why, because for you, I hear that. For me, I see a Rubik's Cube. I grew up playing with Rubik's Cubes. I see a Rubik's Cube that's all mixed up, like every color is all screwed up. That's how most people are. And then we're going to turn. And then I see the completed Rubik's Cube only to get messed up a little more, and we're going to come back and do it again. You use a flower, I use an 80s little object of, you know. But again, female, awesome. Male, yin yang. So, but I love that. I love that. How do people learn more about you? I want you to, anything that people can reach out to you, because I said, you've helped me. I know you've been on Akbar, and I know you've helped a lot of people. And I want to help get your message out for what you're doing. Helping, healing people, I believe, is what life's about.
Thank you. So probably the best place to connect with me is in our Facebook group. I do daily live trainings in there every single day on mindset. We also, my husband and I, do daily trainings in there on growing your business on social media. So that is successsecretsgroup.com. That will redirect you to the Facebook group. You can also check out my website, www.bluelotusminds.com, and all my social links and everything will be on there.
Awesome. Awesome. And for those who are listening to this and not watching us and seeing the links below, I'll definitely have this all in the show notes. Do yourself a favor and check Tiffany out. I've worked with a lot of people. Tiffany in hypnosis, NLP, coaching. I love you shoot straight, but there's compassion in it at the same time. And I like that. I work with, you know, some people that are great, some people that are not great. I love working with you and helping you get on the show. Any last thoughts for people, for again, our audience, you know, mainly coaches and consultants trying to grow a business, building a business or helping people. Any last thoughts you'd love to leave with them?
I'd say the last piece of advice that I have for coaches is to remember to walk the walk. I think we can get so focused mm-hmm. in on helping other people on their journey that we forget that the best thing that we can do for our clients is to work on ourselves, because our clients are a direct reflection of us. So anytime I see like two or three clients of mine that have the same issue or a very similar issue, I'm like, okay, I know this is something that I need to address in myself, and I get to work, because we can only lead people as far as we've gone. And so it's important to continue to work on our own selves and our own things as they come up, so that we can help more and more people.
Awesome. And that brings one more question. So work on your own self obviously is very important. But do you also believe, as coaches or healers or therapists, whatever, trainers, that you do you have people you go to and say, hey, I want help in this? Do you also reach out to other people?
I do. So I have a directory on standby for whatever I need, whenever I need it. So the people, you know, when I have something where I need more of an emotional clearing, similar to what I do, I have a couple people that I can turn to. I generally have at least one business coach or mentor that I can talk to. And I mean, we're always learning. If you could see the stack of books on my nightstand is about 20 deep. And you know, my husband and I walk every morning, and it's our us time, but it's also our individual time. So we each have an audiobook or a podcast going in our ears, and
it's good.
And so it's just whatever way you want to continue to grow and develop, but make sure that you do have the coaches there for when you need them.
Yeah, that's really good. Great, great advice. Great advice. Tiffany, thank you so much. Everybody, check out her links. Again, follow her, find her on Facebook, stalk her, find out what she's doing. They're doing great work. If this is your first time following us here, subscribe, hit the share button. You know, we appreciate it so much. And jump over to our site, howtosellyourcoaching.com. We have our webinar. We have a book you can download. If you would like to get on the phone with me personally and just say, hey, Wayne, here's my business. Here's where we're at. We want to grow. We want to scale. We need help. Whatever it is, go to callwithwayne.com. It's callwithwayne.com. So, Tiffany, bless you. Thank you for being on here. And I look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you so much for having me.